Good morning, everybody. This is Stephen Figel. It is 9:06 on Monday, April 29th. We're heading for a record high today. Pretty warm weather here as we move towards the middle portion of spring. And as you can tell by the music playing behind me, it's time for another party line here on the New Mix. And my guest this morning is Mayor Gary Guzman. Gary and I are going to be talking about things going on in Amesville this morning. That's just ahead on Party Line. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad that you could make it into the studio today. We actually tried to get you in here a couple of months ago, I think.
Yep.
And I know there was a conflict, but it's good to have you in here on this Monday, April 29th. Amesville, home of the Coonskin Library and slightly off-center. I'm referencing the logo that's on the newsletter I pulled up this morning. Before we get into the conversations that we want to talk about here this morning, what exactly is the meaning behind slightly off-center?
Well, we did some brainstorming a few years ago about how we wanted to identify ourselves. And the Coonskin Library is the most famous feature of Amesville. It, 1804, people living here collected some animal skins, sent two guys to Boston. They sold the skins and they came back with like 50-something books and started a library, which in 1804, Ohio was a state.
But probably just novel around here that time.
Yes, it was one of the first in the whole state. There were no roads, you know, so it's a big deal to go. So that's the most famous story. But we started looking at other stories in the history of Amesville. The Alonzo Weed, who was a mayor in 1903, a character, a real character that became national news, and we were on the Underground Railroad, a whole bunch of stuff, and we started thinking about what, you know, when you're branding yourself, you're trying to stand out, you know, and how could we stand out? Well, we're not in the middle of the state, we're slightly off-center, and we're not in the middle of Athens County. And we have these kind of characters that were involved in living and growing up in our community, and that's just what we picked in terms of our moniker and identifier. So to have fun with it, but also really respect and enjoy the history that we have.
When I pulled up your newsletter a day or two ago, I remember thinking to myself, well, that is interesting. I'm going to have to dig into that. So thanks a lot for the clarification on that and amplification. Let's get into the meat and potatoes. You've got several things going on, some projects that are going to help out the residents in the area, including a broadband project that's going on there. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we've been trying to get broadband high-speed internet for, we've been working on this over 10 years. So right now we have DSL, which comes through the copper phone lines, and you get about five down and one up, which is about the best you can do. And that's, you can do email and stuff, but it's just not enough to develop a business, or if you have data intensive kind of usage, that just doesn't cut it anymore in today's modern era. One of the reasons we really wanted to look at this, years ago we started planning, like, how can we be a thriving community? And one thing we realized is a lot of young people were leaving the area. They go to college or they graduate and they go to Columbus. They go somewhere else to get a job. And we wanted to say, how can we get young, innovative people to stay around here? And when you look at what young people want in a lifestyle, one of the things is high-speed internet.
They want to be connected.
They want to be connected. And so we started working on that right away, saying that that would be an appeal and a benefit to young people, to entrepreneurs, to the businesses in Amesville that, you know, might want to grow and do new things. You know, when we look at where we are, We have a fairly low cost of living. We live in a beautiful part of the state with the hills and the lakes and the rivers. If you're an outdoor person and you like biking and hiking and kayaking, we have a lot to offer someone to live here. But if they can't get high-speed internet, then that's a problem. Because we figured, look, so now people can work remotely from anywhere. So you could,
anywhere.
You could come and live in Amesville or outside Amesville and have 5 acres of land, have a beautiful place to live at a low cost of living, and you could really enjoy life. Or, you know, we all know how expensive it is to go to the East Coast or the West Coast. It's just through the roof, the cost of living. So our plan was, let's see if we can't get all the pieces in place that would make it appealing for young families and young people to stay in the area and develop businesses and to become entrepreneurs.
And, you know, large or small, business-wise, it really doesn't matter. Having good internet service, having access to all the other markets that you mm-hmm. need to be in, it's so important. So that is definitely an important initiative. Where are you at in terms of making that happen?
Well, we were awarded funding from the Appalachian Regional Commission, which is a federal agency, and the county commissioners authorized that. It's kind of stalled because of just the paperwork, and there were some staff turnover in Washington. And so, you know, we're frustrated that it's taken this long, but that's just kind of the way government at the state or the federal level works. Things move slowly. But we hope to send out what are called RFPs, requests for proposals, soon, and that would be to the vendors that might come in and install the fiber that we need in and around Amesville. So, you know, once that's out, we would accept a bid and we'd be off and running. They would come in, they would install the backbone, the infrastructure, and then people could sign up. And
so hopefully within this year, there's a good possibility.
Yeah, I think within the next couple months, we'll be sending the RFP out, and then we'll have accept a bidder. And then, you know, this summer, or the end of the summer, I really hope some of the installation will start. That's my hope anyway.
Well, those are positive steps, and you have to take first little positive steps to make the big steps later on. Let's talk about your upgrades to the road, State Route 550 and State Route 329.
Yeah, that's another issue. So Amesville, we're under 200 population, but we have the Amesville Elementary School. So you have about over 200 kids coming into Amesville to go to school every day. And some of them walk from various houses in Amesville, and of course others are bused. But with two state highways, 550 going through the downtown or little small business district and 329 in front of the school, there's just been too much speeding. You know, the speed limit's 35. People blow through there at 60 miles an hour, and you have kids walking, crossing the streets, going to school. You know, our park is on the south side of the village. So if you want to walk your dog or go down to the playground or use the walking biking trail or any of that, you have to cross 550. So a lot of citizens, you know, were just concerned. They were concerned for themselves and the kids that people were blowing through at high speeds. And I went to ODOT and council went to ODOT and we said, what can we do? Can we put in speed bumps? No, you can't do speed bumps. Can we put in a traffic light? No, you can't. I mean, they own the road. So mm-hmm. What can we do? And what we finally came up with is we can narrow the road and make the crosswalks more visible with flashing lights, you know, the signs that flashing say crosswalk ahead. And we didn't have the money to do that, but we got a grant from ODOT to help us with that. So in the next couple of years, we'll be installing these bump outs that make where you cross the street shorter distance. And there'll be signage and flashing lights. You know, there'll be all this stuff that will draw your attention to, hey, slow down. You know, there are kids here. There are people walking their dogs. And I mean, the other part of it is we have a police department, But again, a very limited budget, and so our chief of police is just part-time. And so we can't have a police presence all the time watching this stuff. So we were looking for any other options that could help us find a solution. And that's what we've come up with in working with ODOT.
Is your school, the elementary school, part of Federal Hocking?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay. Let's move on and talk about your participation in Age-Friendly Athens County.
So Age-Friendly Athens County started 2-3 years ago, and it is a program of AARP and the WHO, the World Health Organization. And basically, those organizations started looking at, particularly in the United States, we have an increasing older demographic. We have older people represent a much higher percentage of the population than it used to be. And we all know there's issues as we get older. The limited mobility becomes an issue. You need help in your house, various things. So Athens County, a bunch of different organizations got together and said, we want to join this network of organizations that promotes age-friendly activities. So it's just getting off the ground. We were accepted as a member into AARP. You have to fill out an application and do all this stuff. But now there's a director been hired over at the health department, Amy Lipka, who is the director and is now really putting things into gear about how can we make improvements in these various areas. And when we first started, we broke into small groups looking at these different areas: housing, transportation, civic involvement, outdoor exercise and recreation. So we divided into all these groups, and we did surveys with seniors and said, what do you need to stay living in your house? What do you need to have access to get to the doctor? What improvements do you need to your house to make it more amenable to live in there as you get older? So we broke into those groups and slowly started generating potential solutions that we now want to start to roll out. Of course, you got to find funding. So we're going to have to look for funding to do some of this, but some of it we found is just there are a lot of groups with a lot of programs to help seniors out there, but not everybody knows about them. So part of it is just like helping everybody understand what already exists to help you out, if it's food, if it's transportation, if it's housing, any of those issues. Let's make sure everybody knows about what's already there before we really start trying to create new things to help people.
Gary, how long have you been mayor of the village of Amesville?
I was elected in 2011.
Okay.
So I just got reelected this last November, so another 4 years is the term for mayor in a village. And we have a council of 6 members, very active council that works quite well together. So,
well, and you mentioned that you aren't from here originally.
Correct.
You did go to Ohio University.
Yep.
Before moving to Cincinnati, where you worked in social work for
right.
a number of years before coming back here. So obviously your time in Athens as a student left a very favorable impression on this area, as it did for me.
Yeah, it did. When I graduated OU 76, I stayed around the area. I worked in Athens and I worked in Marietta in counseling and that kind of field. And I left and worked in San Francisco and moved back to Cincinnati, which is my hometown. But I still knew a lot of people in Athens from all those years, and I've always come to visit and always loved it. And my wife and I decided a number of years ago, let's retire to Athens County. And so we moved here. I saw an opportunity at COAD. So we moved, before we were retirement age, we moved back here. I took a job at Co-Ed and worked for a number of years.
Well, I brought that up because I see some similarities between you and myself. I'm not from this area either. My listeners know I'm from Detroit, Michigan, but I I moved here and lived here briefly, not so briefly, for a time in the 1980s, and fell absolutely heads over heels in love with the area, and came back every year on vacations. For 25 years, yeah. I lived in Florida, and always vacationed here. My friends down in Florida were always fascinated. Where are you going on vacation? A lot of them obviously hadn't heard of the area, but like you, I bought some property, and I brought my passion back when I moved back here several years ago, bringing me to this point that it's so clear in hearing you speak that you have a lot of passion for this area.
Yeah, I do.
Which is so important for the job that you're doing. Let's talk a little bit more about your village, specifically steering towards some of the events. Every community has to have events to make it a community. The people are obviously central to that. But what type of things do you have going on in your village over the coming days, weeks, and months that are going to bring everybody together and perhaps some people from outside to take a peek?
Yeah. Well, one thing we do on a monthly basis starting in May is outdoor concerts. It's called Coonskin Saturdays. Now, that's a nod to the Coonskin Library, which, you know, is the history of the village that still stands to this day. But it's a nod to that history. But we have this beautiful park, Gifford Park. And the story of Gifford Park, I'll go off on a tangent briefly for that. But Gifford Park was south side of Amesville, below 550. In 1998, there was a 500-year flood. And on the main drag, 550, the water was about 12, 13 feet deep.
Hmm.
And all of the businesses and most of the houses on the south side of the village were destroyed.
Hmm.
They were torn down. Debris was hauled away. And what we got from that was a park. So it's good news and bad news. You know, the bad news is, you know, a lot of people had no place to live and the businesses went away. So that hurt in terms of population, in terms of revenue for the village. You know, you had less tax dollars to run the village. But in the end, the asset that you have, this great feature, this park, is about 7-8 acres. Again, playground, walking trail, picnic shelter, little historic markers. And we just decided we want to utilize it more. So we got a grant and built a small outdoor stage 7, 8, 9 years ago. And just started having live music on the third Saturday of every month in the summer. And bringing in local bands. And then we started bringing in local food. The restaurant, you know, come over and sell food. Craftspeople would come over and sell their crafts. And it's just slowly grown from, you know, the first one we did, you know, maybe 40, 50 people showed up. And last year, our event in August, we had 500 people.
Hmm.
And we had vendors from all over. We had multiple food trucks. It's a community event, and we want it to be for the community. We don't have any aspirations to be this huge, big festival, but we do want to have something that people can enjoy. And it's great to see your neighbors, be outside, listen to music, visit and have some food and hang out. And it's turned out, we've been doing it 6-7 years now.
Well, congratulations. I mean, that has to be gratifying. I noticed that, you told me that your population is a little bit less than 200, right around 200 people. So to swell your ranks to 500 mm-hmm. for an event like that, it's quite a feather in your cap. What else do you have going on here in the coming days, weeks, and months?
Well, there's, you and I talked earlier, the Writer's Workshop, which is in June. And that'll be at a venue called Village Productions. And I'll give you a little background on that. The Village Productions, it's basically our community center. And for many years, it was the Grange Hall. The building was built in the 1880s. And for years, it was a farm implement supply house that sold farm implements, and then it has been many other incarnations. But in the 1950s, the Grange bought the building. Now, people may or may not be familiar with the Grange, but it's a fraternal organization.
Place where people come together.
Right, right. And it was started just after the Civil War. And it is basically a rural fraternal organization that promotes rural life and people getting together. And back in the early days, it was a lot about how to improve your agricultural practices. Well, for years, Village Productions ran a children's dance studio up in the upstairs of that. But then about 6-7 years ago, we bought the building and started making improvements and started expanding programming. So it is now our community center. There are classes every day of the week, yoga, Pilates, dance, music, all kinds of things. We have our senior center there on a regular basis. We have different groups like 4-H that use it on a regular basis, and we also rent it out for a wedding reception or a reunion or a graduation party. So it really gets used for a lot of different things. And so this writer's workshop is going to be a 3-day event in early in June, the first
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
6th, 7th, and 8th. Mm-hmm. And we're bringing in nationally recognized Appalachian writers. And actually, one of the writers is from right in Amesville. Michael Thomas Ford lives in Amesville and has been, 60, 70 books published at minimum. A well-known young adult author. But we did this for the first time last year, and really the driving force behind this is George Wood. And George was superintendent of Federal Hocking Schools, and before that he was principal at the high school. And when George retired, he took up writing. He really got a passion for writing and he did a podcast and then started writing short stories. He has a few short stories published. But he had such passion for this, and he started going to some workshops. I think he went to one in Harlan, Kentucky, and various other places, and he started meeting these authors. And he just basically said, he said, "Hey, would you come to Amesville where I live? Well, I'd love to have you come and talk about how to get published and talk about how you approach writing and the ins and outs and the do's and don'ts." And so we did that. He did that last year, and we at Village Productions worked with him. And I would say there was about 24, 25 people, and over 3 days. And it was very successful. People were staying at the Airbnbs and places around Amesville, and they were eating at the restaurant and all kinds of stuff. So George felt so good about that last year that he decided, let's do that again. And once again, we're doing it this year. So Megan Lucas is coming back, who was here last year. But we have Carrie Gunter Seymour, who's a local poet, poet laureate for the state of Ohio, and some other local folks and some other Appalachian writers. And so I think it'll be a fun weekend.
When I was in college, I had a professor who told us in class that it was his firm belief that every single person who walks upright on the earth has at least one good book in them. But most people don't know how to go about writing the book and then all the other nuances of getting a book put together, published, and all the other things. But most people have the stories in them. It's hard not to go through life without accumulating stories.
Sure.
Not everything has to be fiction. I think some of the most interesting things to read are the stories of real people,
sure,
real events, real life, some of them lighthearted, some of them can be serious, but what a neat event, and I wish you luck for the second annual Writers Workshop. Listeners, that again is June 6th, 7th, and 8th. There's more information to be found on the Village's website, which we will post on our own Facebook page following the program here today. Gary, do you have, as we move towards closing the program today, I wonder if you had something else that you wanted to mention that I haven't brought up yet.
Well, I will talk about the work we're doing right now to create a thriving community. So we're working with a consulting group called Small Nation. And it's a little, I'll just dive into the story. There's a fellow that lived up near Belle Fountain, Ohio. And when he got out of college, he was casting about for what to do. And he came back to his hometown. His hometown wasn't Belle Fountain, but he went and looked at Belle Fountain. And this was 16, 17 years ago. And almost half of the storefronts were boarded up and empty in downtown Belle Fountain. And he thought, what a shame that was. And his name's Jason Duff. And he said, somebody ought to do something about this. And he took it upon himself to be the somebody to do something. And he bought a couple of the buildings through sheriff sales, back tax auctions, for next to nothing. And then he put together a business plan, and he got a loan to fix those buildings up. But he was very systematic. He said, you know, what do we need to bring here to be successful? And he says, we need a coffee shop and a donut shop, and eventually we need a brew pub and we need a restaurant. And he started thinking, the same way we're thinking about what would attract young people to come and stay in Belle Fountain, and it's not a hardware store. And so he started this little effort to revitalize the downtown. And over that 17 years, it's been incredibly successful. And I'm in a group called the Mayor's Partnership for Progress, which is in collaboration with Ohio University Voinovich School of Administration. And we brought him in as a speaker once to talk about his work in Belle Fountain. And he formed an organization called Small Nation that has staff. And we were all so impressed that we thought, well, we've got to see if these folks can't help us. So the Mayor's Partnership ponied up money to have some communities be the recipients of the services of Small Nation. And the first year it was Somerset and Chillicothe and somewhere else. And this next year it was Amesville and a couple other communities. So, I mean, again, Amesville wouldn't have had the money to, say, pay the consulting, but the Voinovich School is very helpful in terms of getting grant funds for the Mayor's Partnership that covers 18 counties in Southeast Ohio. So, you know, we applied in Amesville, and they said, hey, you're in. We selected you as one of the communities. And so a bunch of us went up to Belle Fountain, and they spent a whole day walking us around, and it was an incredible transformation. They showed us the photos of
the before and after.
Before and after. And the thing that we liked is they preserved the history. A lot of the buildings had these beautiful facades from the, you know, 100 years ago, but they had been covered in aluminum and cheap kind of, you know, all kinds of stuff. And they ripped that off and restored them to their original beauty. And they, you know, but now it's a thriving downtown. With these buildings they bought, with businesses on the first floor, they renovated the second, third, fourth floor. And people are actually living downtown in Belle Fountain, which 15 years ago, nobody lived in Belle Fountain. They all lived outside Belle Fountain.
It'll be fun to hear you talk, you know, in future visits that we have with you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Gary Guzman, who's the mayor of the village of Amesville. It will be fun to hear the little steps that must be taken now. Mm-hmm. You were talking about a process that began 15 to 17 years ago. Nothing happens overnight.
Right.
But getting the right people to help you take those very first steps, very important.
Right. So they came down a couple of weeks ago for their first site visit. And initially, they were very impressed in general. But they'll be working with us to create some ideas. You might do this. You might do this. You might get funding here. But they're going to walk us through the kinds of things they've done. Now, what they did might not work for Amesville. We're not all the same. You know, Belle Fountain is, I don't know, maybe 7,000 people. So that's different than a town of 200
people. But there's
probably
some threads.
But there are threads of similarity, and I'm just hopeful that they can help us identify some things that we can do that, will make us appealing to young families, that will bring entrepreneurs into town, that will bring people there that want to open businesses, and that people that want to live in Amesville because, You have to have people that want to live there and participate in your community to be a vibrant community.
Absolutely. You know, in future visits, once again, we're going to have to deep drill the subject more.
Okay.
Because you've got my juices flowing now. Gary, I want to thank you for stopping by this morning. Privileged to meet you for the first time and hear about what's going on in Amesville. I'm excited.
Well,
and it's good to see another person. There are so many of your peers in these smaller communities, villages, who I think share your passion and vision for a bright future for all of us. And that's something that all of us can appreciate and look forward to helping to perhaps catch a little of as we help do our parts in helping making these initiatives go forward. So ladies and gentlemen, this has been Party Line. Thank you very much for listening. And again, thanks to our guest, Gary Guzman, the mayor of the Village of Amesville.